24 minutes to 8. Welcome back to Sabah al-Muslim on Radio Islam International. We continue now with the tafsir of Surah Al-A'raf. Yesterday we began a discussion on verse 55 where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, Udu'u rabbakum tadarru'a wa khufya. Call on your sustainer humbly and secretly. Innahu la yuhibbul mu'atadeen. He does not like those who transgress the bounds. We explained that in the previous verse, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had said, Ala lahul khalqu wal amr. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala possesses all the power to create and all the power to instruct after He creates. And if Allah is the one who creates and instructs those that He has created, then obviously Allah is the fountainhead of all blessings. And we need to turn to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala alone for the fulfillment of our needs. But when you turn to Allah, there needs to be humility. You cannot ask of Allah arrogantly. You cannot ask of Allah with a sense of entitlement. You are not entitled to nothing. And Allah is not obliged to give you anything. So we cannot ask Allah with a sense of entitlement. We need to ask Allah with a sense of humility, with a sense of need. And I explained yesterday that the reason that dua is such a great ibadah is because you humble yourself, you lower yourself before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you debase yourself before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you show your incapacity, your inability, you show the fact that you cannot do for yourself, even for minuscule issues, even for minor issues. And that's what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala loves. Wa khufya. The second part of the discussion yesterday was that dua should be made secretly, silently. And I explained that the Mufassirin have written, that's the general principle when it comes to dua. You make dua secretly and silently. There are exceptions at times when you are in a congregation, etc. Dua will be made loudly. And then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala concludes the verse by saying, Innahu la yuhibbul mu'atadeen. That Allah does not like those who transgress the bounds. Allah does not like those who transgress the bounds. Meaning when it comes to dua, do not transgress the bounds. Do not transgress the limits. Do not ask for something which is haram. Do not ask for something which is inappropriate. We discussed the hadith of Abu Dawood, where Abdullah ibn Mughaffal radiallahu anhu overheard his son making dua to Allah to grant him a white palace by his right side in Jannah. And he said, oh my son, ask Allah for entry into Jannah and protection from Jahannam. Do not start specifying to Allah. Do not be so prescriptive to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Abdullah ibn Mughaffal radiallahu anhu told his son that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that soon there will be such people in this ummah who will be excessive in their du'as and in their acts of purity, like wudu and bathing, etc. Instead of washing 3 times in wudu, they will wash 30 times. Because they feel like, maybe I just missed a spot here, maybe I just missed a spot here. It's actually the shaitan playing on you, and you end up being, excessive, beyond what is necessary when it comes to making wudu. Similarly, ask for Allah for Jannah, ask Him for Jannatul Firdaus, but there's no need to say, I want this kind of a palace, it must be this color, I want a whore that's blonde, or I want a whore that's a brunette. You are being prescriptive, and that's a sign of disrespect. We also discussed a few hadith yesterday pertaining to dua. We mentioned that in Bukhari Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, and in the dhanni abdi bi, I treat you as per your expectations of me, so have positive expectations of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala when you make dua. Also, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, I am with him when he remembers me and his lips move with my remembrance. Meaning that dua is also dhikr. You are remembering Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When you remember Allah, Allah will be there for you. Allah will remember you. And we discussed the hadith, your Rabb is closer to you than the neck of the animal that you are mounted on. Meaning that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is nearby. Whenever you make dua, whether it's from your heart, or whether you move your lips, whether it's silently, whether it's loudly, Allah can hear. Allah is close to you. We explained that Sahaba once asked, those who had just embraced the faith, who didn't understand, the many things in detail. They said, is Allah near? Is Allah far? As we call out to Allah loudly or softly. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala responded with the verse, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servant asks about me, or asks from me, then I am close by. I'm right, I'm closer to you than your jugular vein. Now, continuing with the discussion, the scholars say, in light of what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the second sentence, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. That Allah does not like those who transgress. It is mentioned in the books of Tafsir that even good deeds are extremely virtuous, but even good deeds, despite their virtue, they should be carried out within the limits that the Sharia has specified. For example, no person should spend his entire day and night in worship, even though ibadah secures your reward, because that's not what the Sharia wants from you. The Sharia wants you to fulfill the rights of your body. You need to eat, you need to sleep, you need to rest. The Sharia wants you to fulfill the rights of your spouse. You need to be intimate and physical with your spouse on a repeated basis. On a regular basis, the Sharia wants you to be to fulfill the rights of your children, your family, the society, the community, your guests, your livelihood, all of those things. So you need to have that balance in your life. Also, the example I normally give, we know that when you perform Salah, you get reward. But in Zohar, there's only four farads. You can't say, I'm going to need eight today because I want double reward. That's you know, being excessive. That's overstepping the bounds. As Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Allah does not like those who transgress. When it comes to that which is the Sharia is stipulated, you stay to the stipulated amount. Yes, nawafil, yeah, the Sharia has left it open. You want to read extra rakats? Read as many rakats nafil as you want to. As long as you don't overstep the separate rule of parameters that apply in a general sense. Like the one where you mustn't be so involved in nawafil that you neglect your spouse and neglect your family and neglect all your other responsibilities. But this ghulu, you know, being excessive, going beyond what the Sharia wants of a person, this is where you complicate things for yourself. Firstly, Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhu used to fast excessively and he used to perform salah excessively. And his own father complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His own father told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he's starting to neglect his wife, etc. And at that time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cautioned him. Said, oh Abdullah, don't fast every day. At most, fast one day and don't fast the next. And later in his life, in his old age, he said, you know what, now I'm starting to feel it. But now because I've been doing it all this time, I have to continue with it. But I should have listened to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I should have slowed down somewhat. Now, you and I, when we hear about slowing down, we use it as an excuse not to do much. Obviously, Sahaba had that great fervor, and you need to have that fervor. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Run and hasten and move with pace towards the forgiveness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But it's all about balance. It's all about balance. You do that, but at the same time, you must leave adequate time for all your other responsibilities, which are also avenues through which you can secure rewards from Allah and mercies from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the understanding.